Warning, this podcast discusses addiction, mental health, and other sensitive topics. Please listen with care and take a break if needed. You are not alone, and support is available.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Andrew.
This is Jay.
How's everybody doing out there? Jay, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Cool.
You know, it's been a week of trying to get through, but yeah, all things considered, life is good, you know, pretty blessed individual, and yeah, got a lot of work this week, so that means a lot of money.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That's tight. I've been asking for it. They finally threw me a couple extra shifts, so your boy's getting paid this week.
Hell yeah.
How you feeling, bud?
I'm doing all right.
Just all right?
Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. That I'm doing pretty fucking good, and I'll get into that in a little bit. We are going to start out the intro part of the episode here. We're going to do a little bit of a shift up with the organization of the episode here. But we're going to start out with just saying last week's episode was on coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
If this is your first episode you're catching into, maybe go check out that last episode
too. A lot of good laughs in that one.
We thought it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Talked about some cool
you
stuff
too. You
may
think differently, and if you do, you're wrong.
And you don't have a sense of humor.
Exactly. But also shout out to our listeners as a whole, anybody that's joined in new recently, shout out, we've noticed you in Ghana, dude, that's rad.
Yeah, it's so sick.
That's super cool, dude.
Shout out to you, me brother. I'm sure that's not close to the right accent, but it's
probably
my
not
attempt.
Anywhere near it, but
no, but
knows?
You know what? I'm trying. I'll do better research next time.
I had a neighbor growing up. This is also not Ghana, but it's I had a neighbor growing up who was, I think he was from Kenya, and he was like my across or like my two doors down neighbor, and they were the nicest people, but he had the thickest African accent, and you just could not understand.
That's
him.
Fair. I don't and think Ghana just, and Kenya are anywhere near each
other. No, I know. But
I knew like
was,
two black guys growing up too. I was
getting on the accent part.
Okay, got it.
The accent part of it is so hard to understand him, but you always like wanted to talk to him and like try. He'd be like,
"Yeah,
okay,
they got some
like,
cool accents."
Well, man. He was also like he like played rugby in Kenya and like. He was like a really interesting guy, just the nicest guy. Like I remember.
Moving forward, we like the accents, unless you're South African. Fucking,
that's not a cool accent. I don't like it.
You've never been to South Africa. Anything Dutch or Danish can die off.
Yeah, that's not. That's not where I.
All right, moving forward.
Cool. All right.
But shout out to all of our listeners. Seriously,
yeah. Shout out
to
all of our listeners.
We appreciate it a lot.
And this is where we're going to get into. Switching up the organization
mm-hmm.
of the podcast. And we're going to go right into clean but still a mess. Everybody's favorite part of the podcast, I'm sure. Of
our best segment.
Our best segment. Maybe. Definitely. 100%. Mm-hmm. Anyway, clean but still a mess. Jay, you are scheduled to talk here first.
Yeah.
So would you like to go ahead and say how you are clean but still a mess?
Yeah, you know, I'm not drunk all the time anymore, so clean. But this past week, quite a long time, I feel like I'm truly masquerading as an adult, you know?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, dude, it's like drag. It's like, I don't know what the, what am I doing here, dude?
You're a drag.
You know the way they, like, tape it back? That's me and my personality and, like, trying to function in society. You know, like, just being a goofball and not handling shit. I just gotta tape it back and pretend, hey, we're totally flat down there. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Trying to be straight edge has not been easy. And, like, you know, just getting everything in order, scheduling shit. The 52,000 fucking appointments I have to set up and, you know, applications to submit. I'm getting into, like, this moving stuff. And then I've had, you know, the issues with apartment complexes that, you know, I've discussed on here before. And just trying to manage all that, man, it's been one hell of a load. Balancing that with trying to also kind of polish my identity as a man. You know, being out here alone mm-hmm. in Colorado. Like, now I have all these friends, but all my family back home, and I'll talk to everybody a lot. So it's been a weird, you know, dichotomy of trying to, like, grow emotionally while also trying to just accomplish the basic stuff, you know, and it seems to be conflicting. Like, I feel like I just don't have the energy for all of it. But I think that is a pretty common adult experience. I don't think that's
that's essentially what I was going to say.
That's growing
up, I
guess.
That's growing up. That's, I think most men, and I wouldn't be surprised if all humans, I can't speak for the women personally, but I wouldn't be surprised if all humans experience something about around that same thing, mm-hmm. around that same age. And it's like, I mean, it's, they say like midlife crisis, right? Quarter, I mean, there's 100% as a quarter life crisis. There's 100% because you realize you're like, oh shit, I'm no longer a kid.
Well, yeah,
like, I have to fucking take care of myself. There's nobody here to like hold my hand through this. And like, you know, in especially in your specific case, mm-hmm. you have no one there to hold your hand through this. And not even anyone to give you the advice on what to do.
No.
But, and that's a tough hand.
Yeah. Now we're approaching 26, so it's like all the insurance shit. Like, you know, when you're young, you get to focus on one or the other. You know, like when I was first somebody, it's like, all right, I'll just do this. But, you know, there was the structure that was laid out for you, and now I have to be the one to formulate that in order to have an effective life.
Right.
That part is not fucking easy, man. That's the part that I struggle the most with, is creating my own structure.
Yeah, and that's, I think, again, that's another struggle that... I mean, I deal with that too. I've only recently gotten pretty good at that. Obviously some people are better at others than others at some things. And like I had friends throughout my high school days that were like, that finished college in 4 years type thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get on to what my thing is in a moment, but it took me fucking 11 years.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't in the whole time, but like, you know, it took me a while to figure out, number one, what I even wanted to do, and number two, like, how to operate within that rule mm-hmm. of college, and how to, and like, college is not
setting
it's
aside
not
the time to study and
right, and
keeping
it's not
up with everything
the, it
constantly.
Isn't the college is not the to prove that you know how to do something; it's to prove that you can finish something.
Yeah,
and that's it. It doesn't really, I mean, like, the general college, like, curriculum these days is useless. And I know that because I just went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had to teach myself most of the things that were, I felt like the teachers were supposed to be teaching.
Yeah, and
like,
it's not,
they just kind of give you the book and say, go ahead.
Right, and it's not, you know, like, knowledge that is hidden and separate,
right.
You know, you can find it, but it's what is your ability to, you know, like I was just talking to someone about this the other day that's going into cybersecurity, and they were talking about getting all the certifications and whatnot,
right?
And lining all of that up and getting all of the data and accreditation you need, as opposed to just going and getting a degree, takes a level of, like, you know, self-control and discipline that I think many people struggle with. I know I do. I always thought, well, I won't go to college, I'll just do all this other stuff and set my life up, and now here I am, you know, 5 years later, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, I mean, I don't think, I mean, and this is, you can take this with a grain of salt, but I mean, I don't think you have to worry about that, because I'm literally sitting across from you,
mm-hmm.
4 years older than you, going, I did the exact same thing right at the exact same time in my life. Like, I, like, went back to school and decided, like, okay, I'm going to, I mean, that's not to say what you're doing, but I did that at about the same exact time, where I was just like, I have to figure out something. I can't just like, and like, this can work out if I do this for a little while, but then it's like, how do I figure it out from here? And thankfully for you, you figured out the alcohol is not a good thing for you earlier mm-hmm. than I did.
Yep.
But, you know, it's,
thank God too.
Yeah, for real.
Thank God.
Yeah.
If I hadn't figured that out, I mean, Lord knows.
Right. I mean, exactly.
Whether or not I'd still be breathing is
I know.
Toss.
I almost wasn't. Like, it's 100%, dude. It's easy when you're one of the people that's like already kind of a problem mm-hmm. to other people sometimes. I know I am.
Small menace to society.
A small menace to society, not like a major belongs in a cell type thing, but like I don't know. I definitely have caused some people
maybe
some
not a
cell
but like a timeout in the corner.
Dog,
every
I
now
talked
and again.
The other day about on this podcast about throwing an egg at someone's car because they parked improperly in my fucking parking garage.
what the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, you've done some pretty funny shit.
That's okay. I think it's great. I have no fucking problem. The thing is, I did say, what the fuck is wrong with me? That's a question for you guys. I know what the fuck is wrong with me, and I'm okay with it.
I haven't figured that part out yet. I still haven't figured out that question for myself.
I guess, don't beat yourself up too much.
Well, speaking of the growing up shit, what's been a mess about your week?
Well, so this week was not a mess for me. Not at all.
Which
this
one
week
is it?
Was I think it is B.
Yeah.
I graduated from college.
I'm gonna do it
again. Yeah, we're gonna do it again. All right, cool, yeah. I graduated from college this week. And like I had said, it took me about 10 years to do that. And I have never been more proud of myself in that regard, just from the pure aspect of accomplishing something. And it is just a general bachelor's degree. It's in video production and film. No, I have no interest in going in for more. People have told me you say that initially. I'm not built for that.
I will say that, my aunt and my father both went back to school for their master's, in their 30s.
Yeah.
Because they were in a career, and then they got it and were able to get these huge salaries. There's always the chance of that. Right. But at the current moment, yeah.
Well, I'll go into more about what my plans are for the future in a second. But, so it felt really good to accomplish that. My family was in town for the ceremony and for a couple of days after this weekend. And that was a lot of fun. The ceremony was kind of just whatever. I kind of absolutely hated it, if I'm being honest. I went to my sister's a few years back when she graduated from Baylor. And shout out Grace. You're awesome. Love you. Love you so much. I went to her graduation and I fucking was like, what is going on here? I don't even want to go to my own if I ever graduate.
Yeah.
Said that. I was literally like, I don't want to go to my own if I ever graduate.
Do they have to call out every person's name?
That's dude. And
do we have to do that?
And
is that really necessary?
And some people are fucking some people straight up, there was a guy who, I don't even remember what the name was that it was put up, but it was like just some made up name, and it was there's no way that was that person's
Mike Hunt.
Not even like that. It wasn't like that, but it was, that would have been, I would actually thought that was pretty funny. I'm childish enough to have been like, ha ha, nice.
Really nice.
Mike Hunt. or Jack Hoff. Yes.
That's a good one.
Yes. That's always my trivia name at Kava.
Mm-hmm.
The ceremony was miserable. But it was nice to go, hear my name called and go up and get you don't get the diploma at the time. You just get the little booklet.
You do the charades.
Yeah, literally.
And then afterwards you go get the real one.
Well, no, you literally get mailed it.
Oh, really?
It gets mailed to you. Yeah.
That's fucking brutal.
It's pretty stupid. But anyway. I guess I get it because they would have to have everybody's individual diploma handed out to you in the order that you're coming in. It would just take so much more organization.
Are the booklets all unnamed?
No, they just have them.
They have your
name
of
the college in it. No, they just have the name of the college, and then they'll send you the diploma later.
I mean, I kind of get it. They could have at least a little table you go get your shit.
That's kind of what I think too. But I don't know. Whatever. Fuck it. So my family was all in town. My cousin from California came into town, Jacob, shout out Jacob. It was a great week. I ate a lot of good food, got some good gifts. I told myself I was going to take, I told myself it was going to be, everybody left Sunday and I was going to take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. And I was like, I owe that to myself. That I take Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday off. 3 days.
I got about one day into that. I today went back to work. I started a company today. Which actually will be, this podcast will be run underneath that company. The company is known as Crucible Media LLC.
That's who followed me.
That would be me.
Like, who the fuck is
that? That would be me.
I didn't make that click until right now.
Yeah. So I started that. We're going to be doing essentially video production for local businesses doing commercials. I am looking at getting involved with some stuff involving golf courses, and then ultimately hoping to have those two things and a couple other things going on as well. Just probably more.
If I started an OnlyFans, would you be the producer?
I could do that. Yes.
Sweet.
Hold on. One of these buttons is yeah.
No. That's the wrong one, dude. Should have been applause, dog. Nothing criminal about that. It's a man having a good time, dude. Giving the people what they want. What are we talking about?
So I will be doing that type of thing. That's where I was. We're going to use those things as to make money, then to fund production of films.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, mainly just short films, but hoping to get into feature. Really don't have any. I have such a hard time watching a full length 2-hour to 3-hour film.
Same.
I don't really know if I could. I don't really have any interest in making one. I want to make I like short films, and I like collections of short films, and I would ultimately like if I could.
You would crush docuseries.
That's what I'm thinking.
I fucking love docuseries.
I would love
four little 40-minute episodes about the Battle of Iwo Jima or something.
Sounds great.
You'd crush it.
I think so too.
You do have a couple cool ideas we discussed already. I don't know if you want to put that out in the ether yet.
No.
But there are some very cool ideas in discussion for future possibilities.
Well, yes, thank you. We'll be definitely letting you guys know when those things come about. So that's where I'm at for the week. That's where Jay is at for the week. We're going to get into this next segment here, which we're going to go right into what was initially our first. Now it's going to be our second. This is our listener email segment. Mm-hmm. And today we are blessed to have an email from Haley in California. And she says, "Hey guys, I've heard people say that laughter is the best medicine, but is that actually true when it comes to addiction and recovery? There were times in early sobriety when all I could do was cry, and then someone cracked a joke and I laughed so hard I forgot I was miserable. Can laughter really help with healing, or am I just distracting myself? Curious what your experiences have been with humor during the hard times."
Thank you, Haley.
Yes, thank you, Haley. So I mean, I 100% believe laughter is, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's literally the best medicine, but I think there's probably some, I think there's probably some pretty good medicines out there nowadays.
Yeah, if you break your femur.
Yeah, it's, you
don't go to a fucking stand-up show.
Don't go to a comedy club that night, at least. But I suppose that laughter and comedy itself has helped me so many times during just a dark mm-hmm. time. And I mean, it's never been the, like, it's never, it's kind of a Band-Aid from that perspective, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of just going to cover the, and make you forget about it, and like, and just for a second kind of thing. But as soon as, like, and it really, like, it's great for when you just need to get out of that shit. That mm-hmm. terrible hole that you're in, and you're just like, I just need to laugh, or I just need. And every time I've ever been in a miserable pit of despair, and I've turned on a comedy special or watched something that was funny, whatever it is, or even just been around friends that made me laugh, like you do, just you kind of just forget about it.
Yeah, I truly think the closest comparison in actual medicine to laughter would be like Tylenol. It's a good alleviation. If you take too much of it all the time, you're probably avoiding dealing with something. And I mean, that's the part where comedy can be a little bit more rooted in escapism. I knew I did that for a long time. I think if you're constantly trying to laugh about it and you're not setting aside time to be serious or to cry, like if that's your thing, You know, if you're going through some serious trauma and you're building up all these emotions, you need to have scheduled times in your life that you're letting that release and you know, kind of just having a let go moment, letting the emotions pass. And then also that comes with that, you need to have time where you're really thinking about it, trying to dedicate a little bit of the space in your mind to dealing with whatever your thoughts are on that situation. And then sometimes you laugh too. I mean, for me, laughter is also probably most used, like when I'm with friends, you know, where I'm not in a position where I want to break down and fucking open everything up. If I'm going out, I'm shooting pool, I don't want to cry at the pool table.
No.
But laughing about it does give me a little bit of sense.
For anybody.
No. And it does give me a little bit of that sense of relief, you know, where I get to talk about it or kind of sidestep into something traumatic without having to, like, face it so head on. There was, like, this thing I saw forever ago. It was, I think it was a magician who was talking about, like, a street magician. But he was talking about how if you're making dead eye contact with someone, you can only get to, like, a few feet away from them without it being incredibly uncomfortable. You know what I mean? That slow closing in, it's just really awkward. But if you're not making direct eye contact, you get something else to focus on. You can get standing directly next to them. You can almost, like, put a hand on their shoulder. And comedy is very much like that. I mean, being able to talk about, you know, like, if I'm at a fucking, you know, conversation with my friends and I go, yeah, so, like, when my dad committed suicide, it's like, oh, shit, all right, fuck, Jesus Christ. All right,
well,
yeah, it's
shit.
Right to the fucking gonads, you know, and you're like, okay, all right. But if somebody brings it up and, you know, I make a joke about it and there's a little bit of laughter, then you can kind of start, broaching that topic if it's something you need to get off your chest. So, you know, use it when it's apt, but, yeah, there's definitely times you got to be aware of, like.
And, yeah, I think that I haven't really mentioned this much in like, a public setting at all, but I've been thinking about getting back into comedy. Mm-hmm. And that I've just been writing jokes again, and I now have the time to do it again. And the only reason that I stopped doing it in the first place was because I was spending it, you know, most of open mic comedy is in a bar,
right?
And almost all of it. And I didn't want to spend time in bars anymore, especially not at that time of my life when I was just like trying to quit drinking and didn't want to have any reason to go back to it. And, you know,
Have a bad night one night,
be around that already.
Have that go be up there, bomb a fucking set.
And then go take a shot. Yeah. And it's like, and then I'm, you know, blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case is. So yeah, I've been thinking about getting back into that, but what I was getting at there was most of the people that I knew from that world, the comedy world, that were either open mic comics or paid comics, whatever they were. Most of those people that I knew had some sort of fucked up trauma at mm-hmm. some level, most yeah. of them. But the ones that, like, as kind of you were getting at, which was, and as Haley mentioned here, is are you just distracting themselves? And if you're like, if you, yeah, because you said it's, if you're taking this medicine as medicine, as a dose every single fucking time mm-hmm. you need a medicine, then it's going to be like the use of any other medicine, drug, whatever, because it's going to be
less effective. Wearing
it's
on your body.
It's going to wear on you. You're going to find, you're going to, I mean, think about it like this, for a second at least, because it's not exactly like this, but like people that suffer with porn addiction, eventually, like the generic missionary shit that got you off in the first time you jerked off is not getting you off anymore, and you need to do some crazy shit. Yeah. So that's kind of similar to like the making of jokes. If you can get a laugh off of like a low. I mean, I don't know. I hate to call any comedy low because it's really not. Comedy is a genius art form.
No, just more. There are some that are more surface level on in terms of like the thing. The subject.
Sometimes it's not. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes it's not a genius art form. Sometimes right. it's just silly.
But sometimes it's Amy Schumer.
Sometimes it's I just meant like sometimes it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's silly the whole time. It's genius, but mm-hmm. it's just silly. Anyway, great movie. Anyway.
Agreed.
But yeah,
yeah, you start wanting to cut your gums a little deeper,
right?
You yeah. like, all right, well, and that I it depends
how much can I get away with.
Yeah, here? The individual too, and like
that also. Yeah,
100% when it pertains to your personal trauma and the coping, if it's more that like self-deprecation style humor, like for me, it was part of me being able to feel comfortable in the joke was not always getting a laugh. Like if I was joking about some really dark shit. I like the gasps. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, there was the progression, you know, of how intense it got. And like my brother, you know, when he comes out, oh my God, dude, Ben, I fucking love you. My little brother is so goddamn funny, dude. And he's the only other person. I've met a few people that will joke about it a little bit, but he really will joke about our dad's suicide.
Oh no. Yeah. That's
and
funny.
He'll do it in front of people all the time.
And just make them.
So uncomfortable. Oh, and I'm I bet, dude. Hysterical.
That's so funny.
There was one time we were at a kava bar, and it was something like somebody made a comment about like, oh, I barely hang out with my dad anymore. My brother was like, my dad hung his way out of my life.
Bro.
And I'm in tears.
That's so funny.
Nobody's laughing.
How was he ready for that? How was he ready for that?
He had it fucking locked and loaded, dog. Dude. And
that's so funny.
We've had some funny ass moments, bro, talking about that kind of shit. And you know, the older I got, the more I wanted to, like, let it fly, dog. Who gives a fuck?
Right,
say whatever you want about it.
Right.
Because getting the gasp was, like, it made me, honestly, in some way, it probably makes me feel more validated in the severity of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's not just, like, a casual brush off. There's, like, a oh, shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I always like that.
You know?
So, yeah, it depends on the you know, what you're using comedy for as well.
Right, 100%. And I think that that's something that I found funny with the trauma battle recently is that when I first mentioned it and we first did the episode of it, I had a bunch of people come up to me and were like, dude, I want to do that. Like, that sounds hella fun. And then, like, Delano came on. And everyone was like, oh, I'm going to get smoked by some people. Like, there are some people that have gone through a lot more than I. Like, everyone initially was like, oh, my life's so fucked up. And then it's like, oh, wait, hold on a sec.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah.
Shout out the boy D.
Shout out the boy D. But yeah, I thought that was funny. Just like, people, I mean, I guess I pulled back hard on some stuff. But we'll actually get into another listener question here, kind of.
Right down the same lane.
Right,
yeah,
down
might
the same
knock
lane.
Them both down
might
today.
As well. But it says, I noticed you guys make, and this is from Xander in Idaho, I noticed you guys make a lot of dark humor jokes, especially during trauma battle. Since you guys seem so comfortable making jokes about really dark trauma, do you ever feel like it gets to a point where it's detrimental to the way you view it? And I suppose that, If the question's aimed at detrimental to the way you view the trauma itself,
mm-hmm.
then
so individually dependent too.
Yeah,
you know, and this is one of the things some of the libs get decently right, which is the idea of being triggered. You know, and like that's a very real human reaction, mm-hmm. and there are some people who just, you know, it's too far too fast.
Mm.
I'll give you another story. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, now I make a lot of jokes that are very serious about my dad's passing.
Yeah.
Like my brother does. That it obviously wasn't always that way. And I was younger, and I was with these two heavyweight buddies of mine. They were brothers. The older one had graduated already, but he'd like drive us around, you know. Actually, he was still in school, I think, at that point. But I was friends with his younger brother. And we were driving to this fucking tournament. And he's, you know, talking all this shit. And I'm calling him fat. And I'm sitting behind him. He's in the passenger seat. And I'm right behind him. I'm like, you keep fucking with me, motherfucker. I'm going to get you. And he starts saying mean shit. And so he's like, you know, fuck you. You're a loner. Da 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 da. And I'm like, fuck you. You're fat as hell. You know, we're going back and forth. And then I said something like, dude, fuck you. You're fat. your brother's fat, your dad's fat, go fuck yourself. And he was like, at least I have a dad. And it, I lost it. And it really genuinely like kind of struck me to the core for a moment and really.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
And I reacted by trying to slap him on the face on the right side. Like I reached around the seat.
Right.
And when he turned, I reached out with my left hand and unbuckled the seatbelt. And then when he turned to grab the seatbelt, I reached over with my right hand further and pulled open the car door.
Oh,
and
no,
then started
awesome.
Shoving him out of the car. We're on like, I think it was I-75. We're doing like 80 miles an hour.
Oh, geez. You're Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, die, you fat fuck. You know?
Jesus
so,
Christ.
I was never going to move him. He was 300 pounds. Yeah. But, oh, dude, I had him by the side of the neck, and his brother is screaming. And he's like, shut the fucking door. Are you out of your mind? You know, and I'm like, fuck you. Take it back. Take it back. Don't say it about my dad. You know, I fucking lost it. And I was kind of fucking him, but I was also genuinely
pissed. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there was that, like, weird dichotomy. And it did kind of, there was a couple weeks there where we were a little rocky as friends, you know.
I would imagine I would imagine.
I was like, don't you say that. And he was like, you tried to commit homicide on me. And I was like, fuck you, you know, it's fair game.
Fuck you.
You'd roll when you hit the ground. Go fuck yourself.
You wouldn't have died. You'd have bounced.
Yeah, so... You know, there are times where I've had instances where somebody made a joke and I just couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? The only fight I ever got in was at a grief camp. A kid made a fucking suicide joke. This is like 2 months after.
Oh, jeez.
And he says something. And I was like, bro, both your mom and your sister died from drug overdose. What are you fucking doing this? You know what I mean? Like, why are you starting this with me? But I didn't have the balls at the time to like... actually make a joke about it.
Right.
And so he said something. I tried to swing on him, fucking tackle him to the ground and shit, and started punching, got pulled off him. And you know what I mean? It's like, there has to be a certain level of space and respect that's given when making dark humor jokes. And sometimes the only way you find that, though, is by kind of hitting that, you know, pressure point.
Yeah. Yeah, and find out, like, even, like, I mean, I'm not the type of person that thinks that I was about to say find out what's allowed, but I don't really think that that's not.
It's comfort level.
It's comfort level.
If you're being that empathetic,
and it's like, and realistically speaking, anything that is funny is okay in my mind.
Well, I think that's the difference between you and I. Is we respect the joke,
right? What do you mean?
Like, I can watch Anthony Jeselnik talk about the worst shit in the world
day
in and day out.
I love that.
Because I'm like, damn, that was a well-crafted joke.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
He's got it. But there are some people who, they don't give a fuck about the art of joke writing, which I understand. I get it. It's
right,
everybody's thing. And so they're just like, you shouldn't be joking about that. And there's no wiggle room. And so, depending on how much you respect the craft of comedy.
Right, absolutely.
Humor can be, you can get really dark. Like, really, really dark. And it's still like, damn, well, you phrased that really well. Like, I can't take a single thing from you.
Jeselnik has some great stuff where he does that exactly well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I can't even think of some stuff on the top of my head. But he's got some stuff that just, I die every
he
time.
My favorite one always was, like, the one where he talks about, you know, my dad found out my sister was having sex or something. And he's like, so he went and installed this 30-pound crucifix above her bed. And then one night, in the middle of the night, I wake up, and my dad had a 2-inch gash on the back of his head. You know? It's like, you know, just these such a great fucking, like, hiding jokes behind the corner and, like, catching it by surprise. He's absolutely fantastic at it.
Yeah, he's great. There's... Yeah, I mean, comedy is my favorite. I mean, it's almost like, it's my favorite art form. It's like, this is my favorite one, at least to consume.
Yeah.
I never get tired of it. And I never get tired of a new bit by a comic that I like. Like, I don't know, when Shane Gillis's new special came out, I was all over it. And then, but like, at the same time, I was like, even some comics where I'm not like a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Doug Stanhope's most recent special?
No, I saw clips
of
it though. It looks pretty good,
dude.
It's so fucking funny.
That dude is a little
just
psycho.
An absolute
He's hilarious.
Psychopath. But like that fucking stand up special. There was two in one because he did one that he had written before the pandemic and one that he'd written after. He didn't do any stand up in between that time period. Mm. And I don't even remember the bits, but you got to go watch that one. It's so funny. But
yeah, when a comedian catches you off guard, it's one of the best fucking feelings.
Yeah, because I mean, I knew he was funny, but I hadn't seen I probably hadn't seen any of his stand up in years, and so it was like to see that he was just still that like crazy funny, and then like an old comic now too. It's pretty cool. I don't know. I've been lucky enough in comedy to be able to see most of my favorite comedians, and most of my favorite comedians are just not what you would describe as clean comics.
No,
definitely not that. Most of my favorite comedians are the ones that say really dark shit.
Yeah, they get into it.
Yeah,
and they're not. There's no like fear. It's really, really great. There are comics I used to like that now I go like, I don't know if that was, like, I just sometimes I feel like it's a little too insensitive. Like, I don't know that Tom Segura's structure always.
Have you seen his show that just came out on Netflix?
No, what is it?
It's so fucking funny, dude.
Like, I used to love his stuff, but, like, especially some of his later ones. Ball Hogs is pretty, that's a pretty good, that's a decent special.
I think he's.
The latest one he had, you know, he just talked about some shit that I felt like. It wasn't set up well. It was just kind of like, you know, there's the low-hanging fruit of dark comedy. You see it a lot with younger joke writers, you know, where it's just like, I'm just going to make fun. I've seen a lot of it, like Kava Bar stand-up comedy, where somebody goes up. We had one dude back in Florida, goes up, makes one of the worst 9/11 jokes I've ever heard in my life. And it was graphic. It, you know, I can't remember what it was. But there was no, like, punchline to it. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, I bet they fell funny. And you're like, all right.
What?
You know, there was nothing else to it. It was just like making fun of the victims with like setup. Yeah. There was like, I couldn't respect it and be like, oh, this is a good bit.
That's not a professional comedian.
But there was like 30 people in that bar and it was dead fucking silent.
Nice.
Except for your boy.
You were dying.
Uncomfortable. Out of just seeing everybody else's reactions, and it was immediately clear how uncomfortable and pissed off everyone was, and I was like, this is amazing. It's the same reaction I get when my brother makes those jokes.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, you fucking... Nobody gives a shit about what you're saying right now. Yeah, they're all just in shell shock.
They're all just like, fuck this guy.
And he just kept going, and he couldn't get any laughs, so he just started... Except for me, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, that guy gets it. And I'm laughing harder because I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like,
you're the one that doesn't
get it. I'm like, this is so bad. It's hilarious. And so he just started attacking audience members and making fun of them.
Oh, no.
And they kept trying to get the mic from him. And they're like, hey, man, we need to go on to the next, like, you know, open mic guy. And he's like, yeah, I'll be done in a minute. I'll be done. And it was like an 11-minute set. It was fantastic.
Bro. That's the worst. That guy's the worst.
He's fantastic. That guy let him go up again.
Do you know if that guy still does comedy?
I can't imagine. I don't know what his name was. They never let him back after that.
Absolutely not.
Because he said some fucking crazy shit. He's like, aren't trans people fucking freaks? And you're like, all right, man, brother, like, what are we doing
Are we
here?
Supposed to be all friendly to everybody? Mm-hmm. Like, in this place,
this
at least.
This is a comedy,
like,
bar. Chill out.
Like, in this place, at least, we should be, at the very least, friendly on the outside.
Yeah, not the best fucking atmosphere for stand-up comedy.
No, it's not. It really isn't. It's, Ryan had offered for me to host a stand-up show at the upstairs location.
Were you there when they did the one?
No, I didn't. I was there, but I didn't go to
you
it.
Know? How many people went up?
I think it was like two. None?
It was two.
Between two and none?
It was two. There were two people that went to our local stand-up show. There were three people hosting. The one performing and the two in the audience.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So these three guys were like, we're going to host here and we're going to get some of this crowd up there. And then it was just them doing
stuff. Well, it was like the thing was that it was three dudes that weren't regulars at the bar.
No.
And like, and also like,
God bless him too. One of the funniest fucking dudes like looking dudes I've ever seen.
I know
in my
who
life.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Not an ugly dude. No. But just you see him and you're like, this should be your act. You should walk out on stage and like do a 360. Like that's all you need, dog.
Give me one sec. I'm gonna mouth something to you. I'm gonna turn my mic off, so I'm gonna make sure we're talking about the same person here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah, dude. Bro.
And like the thing is that like I know him from comedy, like slightly, not like a bunch. Like I knew him slightly.
Oh fuck, and, I forgot his name.
Yeah, he. It's the funniest thing, dude. That kid actually like, from what I've been reported on, that kid like slays pussy.
Is that right?
Yeah, from what I've been reported.
I'll tell you what, almost every single pussy hound I know is a short dude.
Yeah.
Almost every single one of them. They just got that confidence.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck it, dude. I'm like,
yeah,
fly.
I mean, and like, and he's also funny. He is pretty funny. So it's like, he probably just like, and it's probably all the comedy like hound girls that are just like, dude, that kid's funny and he's kind of cute. I'll fuck him. And it's just Yeah, it's probably that type of thing. I've never talked to him about
that.
He
got zero pussy that night, guaranteed.
Well, I mean, dude, it's the Kava bar.
Well, moving forward.
Moving forward. You can't expect to get pussy at the Kava bar. It only just happens. It falls in your lap.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, like, it's...
You can't expect to get...
It is also low-hanging fruit. It's just got to be in season.
Oh, bro. It absolutely has to be in season because I've seen some of the in
it's
season.
A shrub. It's
I've
not even
seen,
a tree.
I've seen a few of the ones that are now out of season. Okay. In season.
Elaborate.
I don't think I should.
Okay. yeah, I saw a couple cava bars in Florida that went through little phases. You also just see the revolving door.
Yeah.
Through the community. God bless everybody in the community. Oh, we love everyone.
I love you guys.
It's not, no matter what gender you are, it is a hellscape of a dating scene.
I don't even care if you're not a gender. It's fun. It's a fun time.
Yeah, trying to find a partner at a Kava bar is no different than looking for one at like a rehab center. Like, it's not.
I 100%. I always say that, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say pause on that, babe. I know that you're listening, man.
Oh yeah. Oh fuck.
Pause on that. I have
we'll say
thought.
That. See,
I have a thought.
Lo siento.
Kava bars are an extension of rehab. Yeah, 100%. It's the same people that you'd meet there. It's the same people that you'd, you know, have fun with. Like, it's just like
the 14th step.
It's 13th, but yeah.
Isn't the 13th
step is having 13th. The 13th step is having sex with someone in early recovery.
That's
absolutely the 13th step.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna get back to my girlfriend part. I met my girlfriend at the Kava bar, and somehow it seems to be
I forgot about that part.
Yeah, I know, right?
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
My bad. Yo,
no,
my bad.
It's all good. It's all good. It's
so fun. I met my ex at a Kava bar. She was the bartender.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we got a couple years out of that.
Well, yeah, that's good.
It's something.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and move on from there. Something I wish I knew in active addiction, which is we are now going to refer to this segment as why am I just hearing of this?
Yep.
So why am I just hearing of this? This one, actually, mine doesn't even translate to why am I just hearing of this, but something I wish I knew in active addiction. Why am I just now hearing of this? I wish I knew I would make it this far. I wish that I knew that like there was a light at the end of the tunnel of the depression and of the despair.
Yeah.
Like I wish I knew that was like a thing that was going to actually exist in my life, because I didn't at the time, and I was actively living to die. Whether or not I knew that or not, or I was actively thinking about that or not, I was sometimes I was, but like I was living to die at a young age. And to not be here now, to just have gotten rid of the despair that I've been in, because I was going to die. Mm-hmm. And whether in one way or another. So I guess and that's hopefully inspiring to someone, with like, it's not, despite how difficult things may seem sometimes, like it's hardly ever the end of the world.
Yeah. There's always something on the other side.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
I put down a quote that I learned later in life, within the last couple of years, but it was that, running from an issue reinforces that it's an issue. And I think that's the term they use is avoidance, but either way, you know, when I was young, I spent so much time trying to pretend, and this actually ties in a lot to this idea of using comedy as a coping mechanism, where for me, a lot of times the comedy was downplaying something and trying to make light of it. Mm-hmm. When it was something that probably needed a little bit more serious attention, and right. I wasn't having the balance of like dedicating time to really working through these things. And at that point, I always thought that, like, you know, consciously and subconsciously, that if I stepped away from something, that it would stop bothering me so much. That, like, if I could stop, all right, well, I'm going to stop smoking, and then I end up drinking, and it's like, well, I'm just around these wrong people, and so I'm going to move on. And then, you know, as another great quote goes, wherever you go, there you are.
Right. I think we've said that a few times on here.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I always kind of expected that in avoiding what I thought was a problem, I would be, you know, kind of bettering myself in the process and without ever having to actually work on it.
Right.
And, you know, what I've learned a lot in my life is that doing that reinforces that there's a weakness there that you have to address.
Right.
That, like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've changed friend groups in my life. How many times I've moved around just in my city and gone and found a new group, and then I hang out at a different bar or pool hall, whatever it is, you know, yep. and find a new group of people, and those are the only people I talk to, and then I lose contact with everyone else. And then, it, you know, without addressing right. it, I'm reinforcing that I have an issue with long-term commitment and, like, being able to invest in the people around me. I'm struggling with that a lot right now with, like, family and stuff.
Sure.
And as I've gotten older, I've had to force myself to realize that, like, these things that I try to convince myself was just me not wanting to do it anymore, there is an underlying issue. Right. And if I had been able to connect the pattern of my behavior with the reason for my behavior, it would have created a little bit better of a, like, a plan of action, so to speak, you know?
Right.
And that's taken me a long time. And I'm just now getting to that where I'm still in the process of formulating that plan. And figuring out what do I need in order to start working through these things. And I don't have those answers yet, but
right.
I at least now have a baseline for where to start. And I did not have that when I was, you know, drinking and smoking constantly. If I had, maybe I would have stopped. I don't know. But I'm glad to have it, regardless of when I found it, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, that's a good thing, I think. It's that you're noticing that because that is true. It's like, if you're going to... It's running from the issue is avoiding the issue, and that not only reinforces the issue, it saves the issue for later, mm-hmm. as which you're kind of realizing now with the building up of appointments that you have going on. When you avoid going to whatever you have to, doing whatever you have to do, and sometimes doing what you have to do is you need to heal. And when you avoid doing what it is that you have to do, you are it doesn't change that you still have to do it,
right?
Or it makes you unreliable or whatever in the yep. case it is. But it's so yeah, it's
kind of like if you got a fucked up foot, you know, and you
right.
you stop walking on it, mm-hmm. you're like, oh well, my foot doesn't hurt as bad,
right?
But then in the process you're fucking up your other leg, you're imbalancing everything, mm-hmm. and then when you do go to walk on your foot, you know what I mean? You're not going to have exercised it at all.
And, no, yeah.
You know, it's that. It just slowly gets worse, and it creates more imbalance in life. And, I mean, it added so much stress and anxiety to my developmental process in, like, my early adult years, which I guess I'm still kind of in or just coming out of. But, yeah, I mean, that trying to not have the balance and just focus on what I think is going to work. And then inevitably, you know what I mean? I realize, oh, fuck, I've thrown everything out of kilt here, mm-hmm. and now I got to go back to it.
Right, yeah.
A little brutal, but part of the process.
Yeah. I've had to start over a few times, too. Mm-hmm. But it'll be fine, dude. You'll figure it out. Keep moving forward. It'll be worth it. So let's get on to our last segment here. We're going to do our song of the week. I'll start out here. My song of the week here has nothing to do with recovery. It's just a jam I've been like fully addicted to the past week. It is called Cowboy Killers, and it's by Rattlesnake Milk, who we have mentioned on this show before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the cool lyrics in it is, it's not even like a cool lyric, it's just the way that it sounds in it. It's something like, fuck, I can't even remember it. It's just like, I can't remember this. It's literally just like a cool sounding song. It's not even, the lyrics had nothing to do with like the way that
yeah, it just puts you in the right headspace.
Like, well, it's like, my dad pointed it out when I showed it to him the other day. He was like, this song has like a very clear mathematical progression. And it's like, not every song really shows its mathematical progression.
Mm-hmm.
And this one like very clearly like does. And it's a really cool jam. So Cowboy Killers by Rattlesnake Milk, who will be coming to Red Rocks on the 25th of June, opening for Charlie Crockett. If you're a fan of Rattlesnake Milk,
come might on. Have to go with you. Yeah.
Yes.
Real quick in that line, Matt, in terms of like the mathematical progression, there's a chick called Tashel Tanner. Tashel Tanner. Awesome. She's fucking awesome. She's really awesome. Good at that. That like the building, you feel the four count,
right, yeah.
And then the change in the loop. It's awesome. She's really good at that. My most listened to song of the week, I believe, was Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know who that
staring
is.
Staring but... at the blank page before you.
That's hilarious.
I found this song, you know, like a week ago, and I was like, fuck.
I haven't heard that song in years.
I've just been jamming the fucking the early 2000s pop jams this
That's
week.
That's funny.
But the song I'm picking for the song of the week is the one that has been the most impactful for me to find again. I forgot about it, which happens to me with all of my music.
Okay.
I'll listen to it for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And then it won't be in my recently added anymore, and I'll forget it, and I don't have a playlist with it. And so if I don't look it up, I don't come across it.
Sure.
But it's
what I use my liked songs for.
Yeah, I got to start using that.
Yeah.
But it's Godlight by Noah Kahan.
Okay.
It's a fucking sick song. I've been listening more and more to Noah Kahan, and we talked about it on one or two of the episodes. But here, let me find one of the lyrics. But it's a very, I would say, kind of optimistic about someone's negative traits. I still haven't been able to fully decipher it.
Okay.
But it's like, to know me is to hate me. It's to hate what I've become. It's to watch me as I'm falling from the ladder's last rung. And then he goes on, and it's, you know, the grace is to be in that godlight. And it's like, I think it feels like a song, at least to me, my interpretation of it, and the reason I like it so much, is that it's acknowledging, like, someone's, you know, inability to kind of be perfect, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this repeated failure in life, and that there's, like, this grace, and that to stand in glory, even if it's a metaphorical one.
Sure.
Or if you're religious, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know where that is, you know? I just call it agnostic and call it a day.
Sure.
But that idea of having that is something that's very powerfully impactful to me. I'm really glad to find it again. It's a fantastic song. If you haven't listened to it, highly recommend. That's about all I got on it.
Sweet. Well, I think that's all we got in general. I will get out of here on reach out to our email on malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and give our podcast Instagram a follow. That's malfunctionjunctionpodcast, @malfunctionjunctionpodcast. And also, if you want to go ahead and follow the new parent company, that is Crucible_Media is the Instagram handle, and we're getting up a website and an email for that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
You got any closing statements on you?
No, have a good week. Stay sober. Have fun.
I agree. Say the same thing. Cool. All right, well, we will talk to y'all later. Goodbye.